about what is a deacon and the need for a deacon. I want to read Acts chapter 6 and basically where they elected their first deacons and understand why is it that we go to the things that we do in the process that we do. You know, we have a couple of our deacons not able to be with us today. Brother Terry, as I mentioned, also y'all be in prayer for Brother Thomas Carson. Thomas is going through a lot of things, but he would be here. They would both be here, and God knows their needs. Also, Brother Jeff Johnson was not able to be here today, so let's pray for them. Well, we want to read Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter number 6, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. We want to understand the need for a deacon. Why do we elect deacons? How important is it to a church? And then as a deacon, we want you to understand, Brother Randall, the responsibility that goes along with that. You know, being a deacon is not something to be taken lightly. Sometimes people think it's a position of prestige, like being a pastor. I remember one time I was standing on the front podium, front steps of a church that was basically looking for a pastor. A man came up visiting because he understood that they were looking for a pastor, and he kind of stuck his chest out and strutted a little bit, and he said, "I'm about to get me a church." Now, he was a lot older than I was. I just kind of stepped back, and I thought, that's not what this is about. Being a deacon is being a servant. I want to tell you also, church, being a pastor is being a servant. You are God's people, and if we get the opportunity to serve, whether it be as a pastor or a preacher, as a deacon, it is a great responsibility because God loves you. And if we as leaders that God has put us in this position don't fulfill that, to me, I take it very, very seriously. You know, the Bible says in one place, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So we want to read these first 7 verses and try to deliver a message that God has laid on our heart this morning. It's in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the work of God and serve tables." Basically, it's, they're saying, it does not make sense for us to stop preaching and spreading the gospel to be able to go and minister to the needs of these individuals. Not that these needs aren't important, because they're very important. So they recognize that there was an issue. And then it said in the 3rd verse, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Now, what that means is they laid this responsibility on them. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Now, I want to break this scripture down. I think it's important when we're into the word of God that we look at it to understand historically, and I use this analogy a lot, studying the Word of God. I learned to study the Bible this way, and I think it applies. We understand historically what happened. We understand doctrinally what it teaches. And then, of course, here we are in 2023, and we're going to ordain a deacon today, okay? So we're going to understand how it applies to us today. But I want you to see what's happening in the first verse. In the first verse, the church is growing. And as the church was growing, there began to be murmuring among the people because there were needs in the church that the people felt like were not being met. Now, particularly, they said the widows were being neglected. But I want you to understand this when it comes to being a deacon. There are a lot of things that a deacon does. We're going to talk about some of those in just a minute. But they recognized in this particular time, as their church was growing, they needed help. You see, the 12 and the apostles even, you know, were going and preaching the gospel, and they could not do alone everything that was needed to be done. Now, they sat down just like a good Baptist will do, and they had called a committee meeting. And they got together, and they were going to review the issue to see what was going on. And they determined that it was not expedient for the preachers, for the apostles, to leave the preaching of the word to go basically and serve tables. They recognized two needs. One, they recognized the need to proclaim the gospel. And can I tell you all, there's still a need to proclaim the gospel today? I want to give you, before we move forward, here's some good news that I heard this past week. You know, we've been talking about people getting saved at the jail and at the prison. We had a youth outing a couple of weeks ago, and we had a youth get saved at the outing, okay? That was a visitor that came with someone and got saved. Last Sunday night here at Awana, we had somebody get saved, okay? A couple of Sundays ago, we had a young man get saved on Sunday morning. I think that particular week, we had 17 people saved. I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming, and we need to keep on spreading the word of God today while we have time, okay? So they recognized that there was a need to keep proclaiming the gospel, but there's also something else. There's a need to take care of the church. You know, sometimes, y'all pray for me, this is just a lot, but it's always a lot for me, okay? God begins to move, and he begins to show me things, and you know, there's so much within the family of God that we need to understand and do. So here's what they did. They decided that they would choose some men that would help, and they chose seven men. Now, here's something to understand about a church. We got more than seven. I think we got about 15 or 16, and we'd have more. I heard a preacher say one time, his pastor in a little church, he said on Sunday morning, he said, we might run 15, 20, 30 people. He said, I called a deacon's meeting just so we could talk about the needs of the church. He said, I had 19 men show up, some of them I'd never seen before. And, you know, praise God for the deacons that are here today. Amen. There's work to do, okay? They chose them seven men of good report. Now, consider the characteristics. Men of honest report. Men of honest report. That just means that you show a pattern of the things that are right. Men that are full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they show the example that they have been saved by the grace of God. Can I say this right here? If you ain't been saved, you don't need to be preaching. If you don't believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, you don't need to be preaching. And if you've not been saved by the grace of God, you don't need to be a deacon. So there was a prerequisite that they knew the Lord, men full of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. Wisdom is skill at living. It's not knowledge. Some of the wisest men that I've ever known never finished middle school. Now, young people, that doesn't mean you, okay? Men that were appointed over the business of God. But if you look at the fourth verse, it says, but we, the 12, will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, this is a deacon ordination today, but I want to talk just a little bit about the pastor, the preacher's job. The pastor or the preacher is supposed to be praying, seeking the will of God so that he can preach and deliver the word that God has for the church. You know, I am one of those who believes in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. It is very important that if we're going to be doing what God wants us to do, we must be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes people, I've actually had people try to tell me how it was supposed to be done, tried to show me how it was supposed to be done, and I'm almost sometimes wondering, do you think you take the place of God? No, absolutely not. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. And here's something to understand about a pastor or a preacher. Or if you've got a Sunday school teacher that every Sunday shows up prepared to teach, here's what they're doing. On Friday or Saturday night, while most people are off with their families, they're doing things, they're watching football, I assure you that the preacher at some time during the week has to have time that he separates everything and he gets to the place that he can get that word that God wants him to have. Because if he doesn't have that time to do that, I'll tell you, the biggest fear I had when I was called to come be the pastor of this church with the schedule that I have is to come up behind the pulpit and not be prepared to preach the gospel. Scared me. Scared me that God wouldn't give me what I was supposed to have. You know, the pastor must have time to do that. Sometimes people, you ever heard anybody say, well, we pay him, it's his job. It takes time. And sometimes while other people are doing other things, your preacher may be sitting at home begging God to give him what you're supposed to have on Sunday morning. In the fifth verse, it said, they agreed together. And as they agreed together, they chose specific men. There are seven names that are given here, particularly Stephen, it calls out as being a man full of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Psalms 133 in verse 1, here's what the scripture says. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, what do you do? Brethren, we seek God's will. It's not a popularity contest. It's not who gets the most votes. It's what does God want for Hiram First Baptist Church. I can tell you times as I was growing up, I've been in church my whole life, the place when a church gets to the point it doesn't have a pastor. I've seen men get together down in the lower Sunday school room at Welcome Hill Baptist Church and just get on their face and pray and pray and pray until God give them a name or a face. And they just keep praying because they were praying for unity until God began to bring the men together with the same vision for what's right for the church. You know, as a body of men, here's something to understand at this point. This body of men agreed together that Brother Randall Butts was a man that has been faithful enough in this church. He's demonstrated Christian character enough that we collectively agreed that Brother Randall should be asked to be a deacon of Hiram First Baptist Church. Now, in verse 6, it says, they set them before the apostles. They prayed for them. Now, here's what that prayer is. It's asking God's blessing. But it said they laid their hands on them, or they laid this responsibility on them. There is a responsibility of being a deacon. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But it's almost like they laid that on them. We need you to help us do this. You remember in the Old Testament, there was a time when Isaac was with Esau and Jacob, and they came in to their father, and their father was about to pass, and he laid his hands upon them, and he laid a blessing on them. I want to tell you something, folks. That's serious. It's serious as we understand it with our children as we pass the baton moving forward in our life, that we begin to pass the responsibility to the next generation to serve God. Then look at what happened in the seventh verse. It said that the word of God increased. And can I tell you that this is what our goal is? The reason we elect deacons and the reason we have order in worship and the reason we have order in the church is we want the word of God and the process of doing God's will in the church to move forward so that people can be saved and that people can grow. Because, you know, you get saved by the grace of God, but I want you to understand, every Christian understand this, God wants you to surrender your life to Him. All right, well, if we look at what happened in the Word of God, it said that the church began to be multiplied greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Can I give you this, and then we're going to move on, because I've got some things I want you to understand about being a deacon. Do you know that in the time that we're living in today that small churches are losing their pastors? Small churches are losing their deacons. There are churches today that used to have a group of people meeting in them that aren't meeting anymore. They might have one or two that still love the church. Maybe their roots are in the church, and they come cut the grass, and they even show up on Sunday morning, and sometimes there's three or four or five cars there, but they can't get a pastor. They can't get people to work anymore because they don't understand the importance. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it was because the burden began to be too great. You know, you see, being a pastor or even a deacon is not a prestigious thing. It's a place of service. And what makes the service possible? One time when I was really just a young preacher, probably about Brother Ty's age, I was preaching down at Zion Hill Baptist Church or Black Hawk Hill Baptist Church. It's had two different names. But God gave me a vision, and I began to preach a message about bearing the seed. It's kind of like when Joshua and Caleb came back, and they were carrying that cluster of grapes. It was so big, you know, they had it like this. And I saw the two men that were carrying the bag of seed that was so great they could barely pick it up. And then I saw another come underneath and get the middle where it was sagging and push it up. And I saw how much easier it was when men worked together. Doesn't the Bible say, lift up your eyes for the fields are white already to the harvest? The reason we have these men, and the reason, Brother Randall, we would like for you to be a deacon of Hiram Reverse Baptist Church, is there's much seed to be sown. There's much work to be done. And we want to do the work of the Lord while we have time. While we have time. So I want you to understand some things about being a deacon. What is a deacon? Number one, a deacon is a servant. Deacons are called because there's work to do. You're called to serve the family of God. Sometimes I've seen people, they say, well, you know, old so-and-so, he's not fit to be, and they fill in the blank. What do you got to be a servant? You got to be willing. You know, I've seen people that were actually very, very much a servant of the church, but they'd never been ordained, never been called to be a deacon. And we've got a lot of those kind of people at Hiram First Baptist Church, and that's why we're able to accomplish what we are. But you're a servant. You're a helper. And here's something I say to you, Brother Randall, and it's something I say to you men also. If you're not willing to do the work of a servant, and if you're not willing to be a helper, then you don't need to be a deacon. You know, when I speak to people within the church and they say, well, you know, who is my deacon? I've been here for 6 months and I don't know who my deacon is. I said, well, you got a deacon that's not doing his job. He's not fulfilling the work that God's called him to do. Because I want to tell you something that's very, very important to me. And I'm saying this to you deacons, but I'm also to this church. When I stand up here on Sunday morning and I'm looking that way, I am looking for you. I want to know if you're coming. I want to know who you're at. I want to know who's missing. You know, when you're on vacation, I like to know you're on vacation so I can pray you have a good time. But when you come back, I like to know you're back. I want to see you smile. I want to see you come in the house of God, because with a church body this size, I can't reach out to everybody. I can't call everybody when they're not here. I can't even make contact with every person sometimes when they have surgery or they have sickness. And what I've asked these men to do, each deacon family within this church, each deacon has maybe 10 or 12 families that they're responsible for. I think we have a little over 300 active members in this church. I say, as a deacon, would you watch for your families? If you see that they're not here, would you check on them? Would you ask about them? Would you call and tell them that we miss them at the house of the Lord? Because I want you to know something. Just because you don't get a call from me, don't mean that I don't miss you. Don't mean that I don't look for you. You can't preach to empty pews. You can't help people that it takes a search party to find. But the deacon is a servant, and he's a helper. And the deacons help the pastor. Deacon is also a witness. You see, as a witness, your testimony of salvation is important. It's important that you know the Lord. You see, you must be in the family, I believe, to serve the family. See, your testimony of Christian living is also important. Because the title causes eyes to be on you. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, so-and-so, he says he's a Christian, but you know, you heard what he did last week. Then they say, well, you know, so-and-so, he's a deacon down at so-and-so church, but I saw what he did. That's responsibility. You know that the Bible teaches us, and this is even more so, it says, the Bible says in one place, be ye not many masters, knowing you shall receive the greater condemnation. What does that mean? If you desire to be a teacher or you desire the office of work and you are standing before the world looks at you with greater level of responsibility. See, if I tell people I'm a preacher, I better live like it. Don't you just love it when them people pass you on the road and they cut you off and they tell you you're number one and you get up to the red light and they got that fish on the back of their car? Your testimony is important. Title causes eyes to be on you. So you need to try to live a life that will not bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. I could say Hiram First Baptist Church, but let's just be honest. The church really is a hospital for sinners, and we want people to come that need help. But doesn't the Bible teach us that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him? And because, and I'll tell you just a little about my responsibility, and I'm going to move on. Because of what God has given me in my life, because of the family that I had, the raising that I had, the dead that I had that lived in front of me the way that he did, the men of God who signed my ordination paper. They placed that responsibility on me. And there's been times in my life when I was at my lowest point. And I was struggling. I'll tell you what I did. I went and took that ordination off the wall. I took it out of the frame. I read the names on the front. The reason I took it out of the frame is I knew there were names on the back. And I read every name. And the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to me, saying, these men had this confidence in you. You need to press on. Because the deacon is a servant, the deacon is a witness, the deacon is also a representative. You represent Christ to the people. And folks, this is a lot of responsibility. You know, if we're going to represent Christ to the people, how do we do it? We must be his hands sometimes. That's what a deacon is. We must be his feet. We must be his arms. And we must reach out to help people that are in need. It's like this. We talk about it sometimes when we're doing mission work. It is impossible to reach a person's soul when their belly is empty. It is impossible to reach a person's soul when they're grieving over the loss of a loved one and you have no compassion. Sometimes what God has called us to do, to come alongside and help, we don't have to say anything, we don't have to do anything, but we just represent him. Because the Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he's going to be with us all the way to the end. So you represent Christ to the people. You also represent the church to the community. And occasionally, you may have to make a stand for what is right. You know, at Hiram First Baptist Church, since I've been here, we have edited our decorum, our bylaws, one time. We edit them specifically because all that we see going on in the world, we are not going to allow the world to come into church. Amen. It was during the times that, you know, the bathrooms were all going unisex. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. This is the men's, this is the women's. And if I have to stand at the door and block it, I will. But we're going to stand for what is right. And what's important to me as a pastor and as a body, there may be times we have to stand together. Now we stand together. And understand this. Deacons don't run the church. But can I also tell you, the pastor don't run the church. The family. You ever been to those family churches? You know, you come, and if they like you, you can stay. If not, you might as well go on. They ain't going to let you do nothing anyway. Who runs the church? Here's, go back to it. The Holy Spirit of God runs the church. And we must surrender. That means that we must open up our hearts and ourselves to the Lord to allow God to direct us. I actually heard a pastor say one time, he said, the deacons met with me and they said, we want you to stop preaching the way you're preaching and you need to preach on this a little while. That's not a deacon's job. The Lord runs the church. But you know, I want us to stand together. It's very important. But I want you to understand this too. The deacon body is responsible if the pastor gets out of line. What happens if the pastor's not right? What happens if you find out the pastor is having, you know, something going on in his life that's not right, and he's not willing to correct it, and he's teaching even doctrine contrary to what the doctrine of the church is? That's when the deacons have to stand together and stand for what's right. Okay? The deacon is an accountable servant. You've been given much, you're accountable for much. And I mentioned this verse, I want to read it. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, latter part of the verse says, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. You see, people are counting on us. They're counting on me, they're counting on you to do right and to be right. I hear story after story of people that say, you know, I love my church and I love my pastor, and I found out that this was going on in the church and it hurt me. How many people do you know and do I know that are just within a 5 or a 10 mile radius of this church that have been hurt in church? That because of the lack of confidence of somebody that they had confidence in and something that they did, they say, I just don't need that anymore. I can serve God wherever I'm at. I want to tell you something, that's a lot of responsibility. And we need to stand for what's right. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, the verse says this, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. That's why it is important that we understand what has been laid upon us. Now, I want you to remember that the deacon, yes, he has these responsibilities, but the deacon is extremely important to the church. We work together if deacons are fulfilling the role that God has for them, and we care for the body, care for the church, do the work. Now, folks, there's a lot of people in this church that do a lot of work, a lot of work. We could not have what we have if it were not for the servant's heart of so many people here. But that's what we must have. You know, if you studied leadership roles, there's a role called the servant leader. The servant leader will stand and do the right thing, but his desire and his goal is to get people to follow him. Have you ever heard you can do a whole lot better by trying to get people to follow you than forcing people to follow you? Our Lord has all power and all authority, but he'll never force you to follow him. But he wants you to. And what we want to do as deacons, and Brother Randall, the responsibility is, as a deacon, is to serve. And Miss Lisa, your responsibility is to help Brother Randall. You know, I will say this to the church, and I'm sure some of you other men recognize this as well. You know, God called me to be the pastor, but my wife does a whole lot of servant's work. And there may be times that somebody will need to be talked to, and it's just something that maybe you need to do rather than him. And Brother Randall, when you go and you're visiting a home, it's highly recommended that you don't go by yourself. You get one of these other men to go with you, and you have a witness there, and if it's a lady that needs to be talked to, then that's when you and Lisa would go together. You know, I've had people come to me and they say, oh, I want to talk to you. And I say, well, hold on, I'm going to get my wife. And then they say, oh. I realize I don't need to talk to them anyway. Y'all understand that responsibility? Amen. Now, what is our goal? Our goal is this. Let's see the lost saved. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe things are lining up for the end, and I believe the times of the Gentiles will soon be fulfilled. Now, I'll tell you why that's important. God has poured out Himself on the United States of America. People don't realize it. People don't understand it. People don't believe it. But when the blessings stop, they're going to see it. We need to get people saved while we can. So our goal is to see the lost saved, and next is to see the church grow. Now, we want it to grow in number, not so we can say we have this many people. We would like to build a building out here, not so we could say we built a building, we did this, we did that. I'd much rather people ride by and say, have you seen what God did? But the reason we want to do it is so that people can grow in a relationship with God. Why do we want to stand on what's right? Because people out in the world have already seen everything the world's got. They come into church sometimes actually looking to see if what's going on in here is real. And they can, I want to tell you something, they can figure it out pretty quick. Our goal is to help somebody. I heard a pastor, he had been a pastor most of his life. And he was talking about the work that he did. And he's, you know, you get to the end of your life, sometimes you begin to look back. And he said, if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have helped more people. You see, it's one thing to be dogmatic and strong and understand the rules. But I heard a saying one time that we should be wary or careful of men with strong convictions but little compassion. I also believe that if we get particular who comes in the doors of Hiram First Baptist Church, God might get particular about what's going on inside. That's why what we need to do is realize that our role, our responsibility to help somebody is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Ultimately, why do we do all that we do? Is to honor our Lord. You see, I believe everything that we do, we must do it for His glory. To lift Him up, to honor and to glorify the name of the Lord. Brother Randall, it is the belief of this church, my belief as pastor, we'll move forward with ordaining you as a deacon of Hiram First Baptist Church. We're pleased to have you and Miss Lisa in this role. Ask y'all if you would to take a seat up front. At this time, what we're going to do, we're going to have the ordaining council, if you would, to come up. We're going to have Brother Billy Green, Brother Alan Davis, and Brother Ken Lamb are going to be praying. This is a laying on of the hands where we are praying God's blessing on Brother Randall, but we're also passing this charge and laying this responsibility to serve on him. By this prayer and by this laying on the hands, we're passing this work as an ordained deacon on to Brother Randall. Brother Billy, would you move forward, please?
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time. God, that we can come in and have this ordination for you, Lord, because you tell us in the Word that we do this. And God, we just pray for Brother Randall as he takes the position of a deacon, God, another chapter in his life, a work for you, God, a servant. And God, it is an honor to serve you, Lord. We pray for them, God, as they go through this service today, God. And God, we pray the church will pray for them, God. Pray, God, we'll be there for them, God. And we pray the Holy Spirit will be their leader. And God, we pray they'll be faithful in everything they do, God. We pray in Jesus' name.